Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
You know, a couple years ago at the men's conference up in Kansas City, we had a speaker, Bob Hoekstra, that gave a teaching that he called Promise Believers. And his teaching said that we should be promise believers, not promise keepers, because we're really not very good at keeping promises. I know we've all done it. We've prayed and we've promised God that we would do this or that, you know, if he would do something for us. And you know, we have good intentions. We all think we're going to keep those promises, but, you know, usually we don't. But it's different with God. When he makes us a promise, he keeps his promises. So that's why we should just believe in the promises of God. And in John chapter 10, verse 7, if you guys want to turn to it, that's fine, but I'm going to be jumping all over the place tonight. So, John 10, 7 says, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers,' but the sheep did not hear them." And here when he's speaking of thieves and robbers, he's speaking about the current Jewish hierarchy at the time, the Pharisees and the priests at the time he considered thieves and robbers. Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." So Jesus promises us abundant life. So that means we're all going to be rich, right? I know I'm checking the mailbox every day for that check that says God on the return address there. Buying that lottery ticket. But maybe that's not really what Jesus meant by abundant life. Let's take that a little closer. Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And mammon, I thought here was kind of a curious word. Amazed that they didn't change that in the translation. Mammon is actually an Aramaic word that means money or wealth. So, you know, I've told myself, but, you know, if I had wealth, if I get that big check from God, I wouldn't serve it, you know. It would serve me. I would use it for God's glory. But, you know, how many of us have said that? And God knows my heart. And he knows what that would do, and obviously he doesn't think I could handle having a lot of money. I mean, obviously I haven't won the lottery yet, so God knows what's best for us, and that's we have to keep that in the forefront. On a little further, Matthew chapter 6 verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek.'" Jesus here is referring to the attention of the Gentiles to material things, or we can apply that today, the attention to anybody today to material things, because they don't know God. If you don't have a God in your life, more than likely, I mean, you're worshiping something else. You're worshiping money, you're worshiping things, cars, possessions of some sort. But we know that those things aren't going to make us happy. Those things aren't going to fulfill us. They may for a short time, but after we have those things and we realize that they are just things, then that emptiness comes back. He continues on, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So we're saying, As believers, we should continue to seek God by concentrating on spiritual values and having confidence in God. He will provide for us the things that we need. And this isn't saying go quit your job and God will provide. God provided you that job so you can have the things that you need to survive. It doesn't mean they're going to be laid at your doorstep, but He will give you the means to have those things that you need to survive. Like the story about the, I know you've all heard about the guy in the flood when he climbs up on his house and the guy in a boat comes by. Come on, he says, no, God will save me. Guy in a helicopter comes by. Hop on, no, God will save me. And the guy drowns. He goes up to the, when he gets to heaven, he says, God, I thought you were going to save me. He says, well, I sent a boat, a helicopter. What more do you want? It's the same thing here. God will provide. Continuing on in Luke 12:15. This is Jesus speaking. And He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Well, that seems pretty clear. In the abundance of things he possesses, or the things that possess him. You know, we still want things in life, and that's okay, as long as we don't put those before God, as long as we have them in their proper place. And also, don't covet or be jealous of anyone else's stuff. You may think what they have is the greatest thing in the world, but what they gave for it or what it does to them when they have it may not be something you want. So just like we said before, God will provide what you need. We need to just be satisfied with that. It's okay to have stuff. It's okay to have things. And we in this country are very blessed to have the style of living, quality of living that we have. We just need to be sure that everything is in its place. We need to be sure we put God first in our lives. And once we do that, everything else will take care of itself. Everything else will sort itself out. Okay. Well, if it's not money that they promised us to have abundantly, what is it? We go to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, he's speaking about Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So here's one thing he promised us in abundance, grace. You know what? What can I add to that? The grace of God. Without it, none of us would be sitting here right now, I guarantee you that. To me, that's the most awesome gift that we could ever have, besides the gift of salvation itself, which we could not attain without the grace of God. Another instance of grace is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. This is Paul speaking here. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, and it sounds strange to hear Paul say that, but he was speaking. Paul was always a religious man. But before his encounter with Jesus, he did not believe Jesus to be the Messiah. And therefore, he did blaspheme against him. He persecuted Christians, and he had an attitude about it. He firmly believed that he was doing God's will until he was shown to be in the wrong. He continues, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, is that the reason he obtained mercy, because he did it in unbelief? Was that an excuse for all that? No. No, he obtained mercy because of the grace of God. He continues, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. When faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And this is Paul speaking. If Paul the Apostle considered himself the chief of all sinners, where does that put us? Where does that put me? I think I'm way above him in the order of sinners. He lived his whole life for Christ. Every moment of the day, every moment of his life. I wish I could be. If that's the chief of sinners, that's what I want to be too. But here again, we're talking about the abundance of grace through Jesus. Moving on to 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Thanksgiving. And how often do we give thanksgiving to God? I hope we do it more than just that one holiday every November. It should be something that we do each and every day. We do have so much to be thankful for. And to be thankful that we can meet like this in freedom and study God. Be thankful for God's word that he's given us. The list just goes on and on. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters of the body. That's so much encouragement and uplifting. But we should be thankful every day, every hour, every minute. 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's talking about God who supplies us the seed that we can sow among the unbelievers. I mean, when we witness to anybody, we're planting that seed. Once we plant that seed, God will replenish it. God will take care of it from there. He will increase the fruits of our righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So here again, if we sow that seed, when it comes to fruit, the people that it produces in will give thanksgiving to God through us. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Once again, this just kind of repeats what he stated in the verse before. We do have many thanksgivings to God by the administration of service. Here again, he's talking about witnessing to the non-believers. We're sowing that seed, and that's really our job, is to sow that seed, not to water it or grow it, just to sow it, just to plant it, to get it out there. God will take care of the rest. We're going to stay in 2 Corinthians and go to chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you for the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, and that is affliction from the Jewish population, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So they have abundance of joy, even though they also abounded in deep poverty. But they were liberal. They were freely giving of their riches. For I bear witness that according to their ability, and yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So these people in the churches of Macedonia actually took up an offering for Paul to take back to the saints in Jerusalem. Not knowing, they may have been poorer than the saints that they were giving the offering to. But it was just the joy of the giving, that they freely had in their hearts that just enriched them and went beyond their deep poverty. You know, when I first got saved, that's funny. I knew I was different, but I really didn't know what that meant. Like Bob said today, I didn't really have any designs on going to church. I knew I felt different, but I looked the same. I looked in the mirror. I didn't think I looked like a Christian. When I talked, I didn't sound like one. But I knew I needed Jesus in my life. I knew that I had to have that. I had messed it up myself, and there was only one way to get it straight. But then after a while, that joy, the abundance of joy, kind of took over. I just had this smile on my face all the time. My sins were gone. My troubles, that weight was gone. I had that peace that can only come from one place. Only come from one place. And guys, that peace can never be taken away from you. You can give it away. You can let it go. You can let it pass from you. But nobody can take it from you. That's another one of God's promises. I had the smile 24 hours a day. I think even in my sleep, because when I woke up, my mouth was real dry. So I must have been smiling in my sleep. And you know, I still have that joy. I still have that joy. I've become more accustomed to it, more used to the feeling, so I probably don't smile all the time now. But that joy is still there. It's just that joy of knowing the Lord. It's still the same joy, and that is also the joy that the churches of Macedonia felt when they gave this offering to the saints in Jerusalem. It's the joy of knowing the Lord. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Here again, there's nothing we can do by works that is going to bring this upon us. No way our works are going to save us. But according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Here he says, by the regeneration Paul speaks of is being born again and washing away of our sins. Renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we have the Holy Spirit in abundance. And that's something we need to remember, guys, that we have that Holy Spirit with us, in us, indwelled in us. So whatever we do, the Spirit does too. Whatever we say, the Spirit is right there too. So my struggle is letting the Spirit take over more in my life, you know, less of me and more of Him. It's too often I let my mouth run without really thinking about what I'm saying or the effect that it might have on someone. And that's something I'm really trying to do better at. Trying to be led more by the Spirit. Sometimes in the workplace or out in the world, it's easy to too easy for me to get away from that. but I'm working on it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Abundant mercy has been given us. A living hope. And that's something sometimes I talk to people that don't have that hope. You know, their life just seems so bleak. I mean, they have nothing to look forward to. No, I have a real good friend that is, for the most part, a good guy. By today's standards, a real good guy. But he firmly believes that when you're dead, that's it. You close your eyes, you're gone, you never know anything again. And I just think, I've talked to him and said, wow, wouldn't you like a hope of something better? You know, here again, we have a promise we can believe. It just seems to me that why toil, why labor, why go through all the things of this world if there's nothing after, there's no hope. You're just kind of on a treadmill, it seems. But we do have that hope. We have that hope, that abundant hope in his mercy. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An abundant entrance into the kingdom. So Paul is, this is Peter speaking here. Peter therefore urges us to be more diligent, to show by your godly life and growth in the virtues of the Word of God that your salvation is sure. And if you do this, you will never stumble. You will be sure of your entrance to the kingdom of God. You will receive the ultimate reward, a rich welcome into the kingdom of God. So it's true. We are promised abundant Christian life and abundant riches in this Christian life. But the riches aren't in property or aren't in money. The riches are in God's promises. The riches in God's house. The riches in a Christian life.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804. Or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.